Okay, we are at the 7:30 mark, so I'm going to, as per usual, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to mute all. Unlike our Q&A sessions, people will not have the ability to unmute themselves. And Arfi, you will have to unmute yourself. You can go ahead and unmute yourself. You, as a co-host, have the ability. There we go. So welcome all to our April meeting of the Ottawa PC User Group. And we don't really have much in the way of other announcements, so I think that we could just go ahead and kick things off. So I would like to introduce our speaker, Arfi Haji Yusuf, who is from the Canadian Internet Registration Authority, or CIRA. They're the people who, amongst other things, hand out IP addresses so that we can all get onto the Internet here in Canada. And by way of introduction, Arfi is the Internet Policy Manager at CIRA, where she supports the policy file. A lawyer by trade, her previous role was at Meta, focused on privacy and artificial intelligence policy matters. Prior to this, she worked in academia and the nonprofit sector. And so with that, I would like to turn it over to Arfi, and Arfi, you can take it away, and you can share your screen as you see fit.
Perfect. Thank you for the introduction. I'm looking forward to sharing more about what we do here at CIRA. I'm just going to set my screen up. Right before this call, I had an update and everything looks very good. So
that's
timely. I'm going to pop my screen on share. And then just let me know when you folks are able to see that.
Not seeing it yet. I was sharing, so that might have been blocking it. Okay, we see your screen now.
Okay, perfect. Another caveat is I actually don't see myself on the screen. I have it set up so that I'm looking at the PowerPoint, so if you see my eyes all over the place, that is why. But I am very excited to be with all of you today. Thank you for making time on your Thursday evening. I know that it kind of cleared up at the end of the day. It was a cold morning, and when I was walking home from the office, it felt like a summer's day and plus two. But anyways, I appreciate you all taking the time on your Thursday afternoon or evening to spend some time with me. Thank you for the introduction, Chris. And so just to reiterate, my name is Arfi, and I'm the Internet Policy Manager here at CIRA. CIRA stands for the Canadian Internet Registry Authority, and we'll get into the fun stuff that we do in a little bit in the presentation. But as a kind of a primer, I'll start by saying that we are kind of like the phone book of the internet. So just like the yellow pages, the old directories that we used to have way back when you wanted to look up someone's phone number, we do that but for websites. And so we manage and run the .ca domain. And so CIRA, www.cira.ca, that's what we manage. And we do this not just for individuals, but for schools, hospitals, businesses, even this organization. I saw that there was a .ca domain there, so exciting. And we are a not-for-profit organization. That means that our goals aren't necessarily to make our shareholders happy. I mean, that's lovely, but we want to work towards making the internet a safer, faster, and more inclusive space for everybody. And so I'll go over what we do here at CIRA. I know that there is a chat box somewhere, and if I don't happen to answer questions in a timely fashion, that's because I haven't seen it yet, but feel free to like ping or send it in again. I'd be happy to answer questions along the way. And another caveat is because I do support the policy team, and I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning, but I have been with CIRA for a couple of months. I'm coming close to my 1-year anniversary. There might be questions that I don't have the answer to, but if that happens to come up, I will be sure to get those answers for you and send those over to Chris to make sure that that information is passed along. All right. Oh, we skipped forward. Okay. So, for the purposes of this conversation, we have three key spaces that we really function here at CIRA. And so that first piece is managing the .ca domain, and that's one of our most important jobs. Our website is proudly Canadian, which is evidently becoming very important these days. And what's exciting is that because we've done such a good job with .ca, other countries and organizations have come to us for help. And so we now use our platform to manage not only the .ca domain, but also other domains globally, which is fantastic because that's a sign that, you know, Canadian digital infrastructure is world-class and folks are excited about it and we're doing a good job. The second piece of our business is cybersecurity. So because one of our core responsibilities is managing that .ca domain, it feels simple, it sounds simple, but it's actually a very big and technical job that involves a lot to make sure the system stays secure, stable, and always available. And so over the years, we've built a suite and a reputation for having a really strong cybersecurity practice, hygiene, and we have a number of products. And so because of that, today our business is not just managing that .ca domain, but we're also providing infrastructure that powers other domains globally. Here locally, we provide cybersecurity products for government organizations, hospitals, universities at a cost. And we also have a cybersecurity service for individuals like you and I, that's for free. Get into that a little bit more in the conversation, but that's another big piece of our role. And that third big piece is our NetGood program. And so because we are not for profit, the money that we make from managing the .ca domain and our other services, we don't just use it to keep our lights on and to make sure that we're getting super rich. We invest that in Canadian communities through a program called NetGood. Our NetGood program supports projects that make the internet more accessible and secure. In the past, we've funded rural broadband projects. We've helped senior centers launch digital literacy programs. We've supported research guides to promote internet policy in Canada, a number of things. We've actually closed our NetGood grant program. I think it was today at 2 p.m. actually. I was going to say at 5 p.m., but I think it was at 2 p.m. There's a flurry in the office. So today at 2 p.m., folks who had applied, that was closed, and they're going to make decisions about which programs are going to be getting that funding, which is exciting. To date, we have contributed over $12 million dollars to community initiatives, and it's really exciting. It's one of the most exciting things I think that we have here at Sierra because you get to see the real impacts of the really great work that we do here. All right, how do I? There we are. Okay, so this was something that I actually found quite challenging to wrap my mind around initially when I started at Sierra. And so the domain name system, every time you type in, you know, winter.ca or whatever the case is, there's a lot happening in the background. Your computer needs to figure out where that site is, what the domain name system is, or DNS for short form. And it's kind of like a phone book. And so if those websites are linked correctly to the right IP addresses. In order for that to happen, there's a number of long strings of numbers that represent the website behind the scenes. And so without a domain name system, you'd have to memorize things like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to get onto a website. And so that is made a lot easier when things have short form domain names. It's fast, it's secure, it's always available. And yeah, I think that was one thing that I was, the wires were short circuiting when I was trying to figure that out. My policy brain could not wrap my mind around that technical side. But yeah, so just thought I would break that down since that's a really big part of our work that we do here. And so this is a really lovely map. As I mentioned before, our business is Canadian. We manage the .ca domain, but the work that we do it globally. And so we have a long history and a lot of partners across the globe that we help manage their domains, or they are using some of our cybersecurity products. So this is a lovely kind of visual to see that we are kind of spanning all across the world. If we're looking at numbers, every single day our systems handle about 60 billion queries a day. So that's 60 billion times someone types in a website name. We help them get to where they need to. It's like a digital traffic crossing. And we support over 550 top level domain names. And so a top level domain name is, you know, .ca. So we support about 550 over that actually. And so that would make us one of the largest operators globally, which means that there's so many countries that are trusting our Canadian infrastructure to keep their system safe and running smoothly, which is really, really exciting. And we take that really seriously. We have really strong global partnerships. In the Sierra offices, we've always got folks coming in from across the world. A couple of weeks ago, we had some Australians come in who spent a couple of days with us. People from our team are always going over to our partners and connecting with them there. It's a really, really fast-paced and global environment, and it's not stopping anytime soon, especially with everything that's been going on. A lot of people are really excited to, you know, engage with us and learn more about what we do here at Sierra, which has been, it's been lovely. It's been busy, but it's been lovely. I am a numbers person, and so I thought this was really great. So security online is a huge issue. Yeah, we've all heard about the scams. I get countless every day. I think just 20 minutes ago, someone had told me their CRA had $300 for me waiting in the bank somewhere, in a bank account that I don't have. What a dream, but it's not mine. And so we've all heard about those scams and viruses and ransomware. And our cybersecurity services protect a lot of folks from these crimes and so here is a kind of a list of our services and who we protect them from. So you see our DNS firewall, which is one of our cybersecurity services. We protect over 600 organizations. That's about 4.3 million users in Canada from malware, from phishing, from botnets, which are very, very can really impact the integrity of one's kind of process. And so that's really great. Canadian Shield, which is, I'll get into more into the rest of this presentation, is a free service for Canadians to use to protect their privacy and block online threats. And over 4 million Canadians use that. That's free for anyone to download. I have it downloaded, which is really great. Our cyber awareness and training platforms, we have over 400 organizations with pre-built curriculums and automated phishing programs. A lot of these folks are folks in government or kind of public service, which is great. And then our Anycast services are also both used here or globally. We see so many queries a day. When I was updating this number, I think it was like 2 days ago. It was insane to see that. And I haven't seen that many zeros in a long time. But over 7.4 billion queries a day. And yeah, no, it's really great. I thought this was just a nice thing to see. Over 8 million users protected. So this kind of goes into just what we protect folks from. And so there was a couple of things that were going on last year, as they always happen, but when the year changes, it's nice to reflect and look back. And so in the last year, so this is 2024, our Sierra DNS firewall product blocked over 1.27 billion threats, including 115 million threats in 90 days. And so that was a crazy number to see. Our top net botnets, I'm not even going to attempt to say those names, primarily targeted one major healthcare institution. And so that's really scary because they're looking to get folks with information. And so that was the primary block there. And across the municipality, university, hospital, and school board, we call that the MUSH sector, malware was the most pervasive threat over the past year, accounting for about 74% of blocks, which is really scary because that's where folks' information is housed. I know that, was it late last year? There was a leak that happened. I think it was at TDSB, which was very troubling because I went to school in the TDSB district where there was a leak there of information. And so that's one of the big ones there that cyber criminals are really trying to get that really, really critical information. And the fun stuff. So I work on the policy and advocacy team, which is really lovely because the internet isn't just about the technology. It's about governance, who gets to make the rules. And we are really proud here at Sierra to be a part of a number of major national and global discussions. We work with a number of governments work with a number of government sectors, both globally and here in Canada, and collaborate on cybersecurity products and events and all of that really great stuff. Globally, we participate in global forums with organizations like the UN and other government organizations where the future of internet is being debated. Closer to home as well, we have a number of events that we run here to make sure that the digital world in Canada is being more fair and more inclusive. And so I just thought here I would outline a number of our key partners. I won't go through all of these in detail, but particularly in the Government of Canada, we have really, really strong relationships with the services that really, really protect cybersecurity. And so Canadian Center for Cybersecurity, Global Affairs Canada, we work really, really closely to make sure that we are looking to protect Canadian data and Canadians here. And right now, things have been very, very busy. As one can imagine, it's the turn of a new government fiscal year. We have an election. We've got some stuff going on down south. And so a very busy time for us all, but we're still working really hard to make sure that we're keeping folks secure. So we have a number of focus areas, but if I had a gun to my head and I had to narrow down to the four, these are our top four on my team in particular. And one of them is advocating for multi-stakeholderism in international fora. And so typically when we go into these spaces and we connect with folks, there are some powerhouses in the space, but we want to make sure that all voices are heard when, you know, we're doing things in the global atmosphere. The internet is everywhere. It doesn't matter if your country's got 7,000 people. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, from the U.S. or Canada, from powerhouse. Your voice is definitely valuable and heard at the table. So we want to make sure that everyone's voice is being heard and those values are being reflected in international processes. In Canada, we organize an annual event that happened last year in Ottawa and will be happening again this year in Ottawa. I think it's going to be later in the fall. And we call that the Canadian Internet Governance Forum, CIGF for short, where we have a number of really exciting guest speakers that talk about time issues in the space of internet. Last year, we had a lot of good conversations about what a spring election might look like in Canada if we have one. And hey, we have one now, and the impacts of AI and all that really interesting stuff. So looking forward to working towards that. And when we start sending out invitations, I'll be sure to send some your way. This is a free event to come to here in Ottawa. We also work really closely and are intentional about commissioning original research on the internet because of the nature of the work that we do. We have access to a lot of data and we have access to a lot of knowledge. And so we want to make sure that is reflected in our work. And because we have this knowledge and data and we want to share publicly, that's a key part of our priorities here. And another key priority is really monitoring domestic international shifts in government. That's been keeping us very busy as of late, but making sure that where possible, we are able to really work with these changes and update our processes if need be. You know, if there's something that's, for example, really, really impacting, I mean, right now, I'll talk about it a little bit more, but elections here, there's new kind of misinformation and issues that folks may have, but I'm working really close to monitor what's going on that front to make sure that we're staying up to date. So Canadian Shield is one of my favorite things that we do here at Sierra, and when I started at Sierra, it was one of the first things that I actually made all my family and friends download on their computers. So it is essentially a free DNS service that helps protect folks from cybersecurity. And the way it works is that you download this off of the Sierra website. I'd be happy to share a link. And it then works and blocks harmful websites before they even load. There's a number of different versions. For the purposes of this conversation, I outlined the two that I think would be the most relevant. This one of them adds malware, phishing, and botnet scan protection. And then the other one is a family setting that would block websites that are not family friendly from your computer. And it's private, it's secure, it's developed right here in Canada. And I think for me, one thing that's really, really important to emphasize is that a lot of other services collect data, sell data, track data. Here at Sierra, we don't do any of that. It's designed with your safety and privacy in mind. We're not looking for data to trade for the free part. We're not selling it to advertisers. We're not tracking. It's really just to keep folks safe. And we've been in this business for almost, I think we're coming on almost a 20th year anniversary for Canadian Shield, which is really exciting. It's something that I use myself, and I've told family and friends to download as well, because you'd be surprised how many things are going on the net. And just to get into a little bit more detail about what cybersecurity and threats might pop up or things that this software might protect you from, these threats are getting really, really sophisticated. I mean, I think a couple years ago, or maybe 10, 15 years ago, our biggest concerns were spam or pop-ups. But now we're seeing things that are far more sophisticated, like ransomware, which, you know, can lock you out of files, deep fakes or links that ask you to pay for stuff, particularly around really highly sensitive times. And so now we're in tax season. I know myself, if I scroll on my email or my phone, I have been getting a like absurd amount of contact from CRA, but CRA spelt with two A's or double R or whatever the case may be. Right now we're in the election. There's a lot of folks who are trying to, you know, take advantage of these times. I find as well sometimes because of what I'm seeing on the news, I can't even tell if things are real or fake anymore. And so I find software like this really, really helpful. And that's why I think it's so important to use tools like Canadian Shield and stay educated. As someone who has a policy kind of hat and like a legal hat, I sometimes can feel like very, very overwhelmed when it comes to trying to decipher like what technology is going to keep me safe. But I found that taking baby steps and using trusted services and updating software, but I mean, most importantly, really being cautious with links can go a long way in protecting yourself. I find myself second guessing everything, which is very important, especially these days. Another really, really exciting service that we have here at Sierra is our internet performance test. So I don't know if you folks have ever wondered if you are getting the internet speed that you pay for. I definitely have. And I have had numerous conversations with Rogers and Bell, wondering whether or not I am getting what I am paying for. And so we have an internet performance test. It's the most advanced tool in Canada to check your connection. It's free, it's easy to use, and it just takes a minute or two. And so what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to send the link in the chat. And if you're up for it, I'd love if we could all run the test right now. I'll do it with you. Do I have access to the chat here? Yes, I do.
You should, yep.
And yes, Canadian Shield does work on Chromebook. It also works on phones as well. Okay, so I don't know if you can see my screen. I've got the IP.
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, perfect. So probably should close that because it's going to show you my address. But when you run it, it's going to kind of check your location. It'll say, is that your address? You'll say yes if it's correct, likely will be. Or if you've got your location settings off, it might say no. Give it a minute or two, let it calibrate. And then if you folks want to throw your answers in the chat, that would be great. And I'll stop sharing for a second so that I can also run the test.
And hopefully it won't impact too heavily on the data stream.
Yeah, okay. So mine is running. I do this test like every week. I've got.
Yeah, I usually run this on about a weekly basis. I run this test just to see how things vary. And it can be interesting, the variances that can pop in for sure.
Okay, that's not bad. Natalie, that's pretty good numbers. Let me read the question that was sent in here. That's definitely a possibility, Stu. I don't know too much about what goes on that end of things, but it's possible. I mean, a lot of times folks are running these things to see how successful they might be and might be trying to do a bigger test, but it's always good to just proceed with caution. And with Canadian Shield, you're able to report things that you find suspicious. It's pretty easy. Just kind of send it in. It actually goes to a team at CIRA. I know that they look at it because I see them over their computers up every day. And so if you're never sure, you can always send it that way.
Harvey, do you know if there's any way that an ISP can fake out the numbers that we get from Canadian Shield, or from the Internet Performance Test? Is there any way at all that they can make it appear better than you're actually getting?
I my sense is that's not possible because this is an independent software and we're just running the test as is. We don't work with Bell and Rogers to really establish this. We're really just trying to make sure that folks are getting what they're looking for and they're paying for. We find a lot of the people who use this to check their internet speeds are obviously people like all of us here who are in Ottawa, but people who particularly in remote and northern communities where they'll say that, hey, your internet is here, but it's not because they don't have the power lines to sustain those speeds, but they're paying, crazy amounts. But no, if the number information here looks like it's good, it's good. If you find that your service is still slow, it might be a number of other things, but I find that it always changes for me. There's been times where I'm like, do I have a Wi-Fi pirate? Someone trying to get into my Wi-Fi? But I don't know. It can be a lot of things. But yeah, looks like we have some pretty good numbers in here. Okay. Well, I'm glad that we were able to do that. I'm going to share my screen again and just wrap up lots of the presentation. There we go. All right. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, fabulous. Yeah, I recommend, I end up, because I'm someone who has had, I think we all have, have a lot of issues with my internet, so I find myself checking the speed every so often. And so if you're someone like me who's always on the phone with Bell and or Rogers, whoever the chosen one of the 6 month period is, I'd recommend bookmarking that and checking every now and then because sometimes I find that it can be different. It's not always the same number, and so yeah. We run as well nearly 1.7 million tests a year across Canada. We actually did a recent revamp, and so our website is very user-friendly. Not saying it wasn't before, but now it's especially user-friendly for folks like me who are not very technologically blessed. And so there's a bunch of toggles you can play around with. You can have a look and see what speeds on average and look like in different cities and have some fun with it. I know when I first saw the review, I spent quite a bit of time looking through the fun things there. So great stuff. Okay, and I'll talk a little bit about the NetGood initiative that we have here at CIRA, which I think is one of the most impactful projects that we have here. And so, as I mentioned at the beginning, NetGood is really kind of our where we put how we reinvest to the community. It's a funding program that supports projects across Canada. And really, we're trying to help bridge that digital divide and make sure that folks are able to access a safer internet here in Canada. And the money that we use for these projects are funded by our .ca and our cybersecurity products revenue. We can give up to $800K per grant. And it's really exciting because you get to see like the real life impacts. The folks who are successful when they apply for these grants often come into the office, or we have a grants team in office that goes and supports throughout the process. And so it's not just kind of, okay, here's the money and then kind of walk away. You've got the support throughout the process. The team that does these grants is really engaged and really, really involved. And really like every step of the way they're there. Our three key pillars here are infrastructure, online safety, and policy engagement. And so with infrastructure, we're really looking on building out like broadband and like the actual like physical piece of connecting folks, particularly in remote communities. Online safety is really trying to build that digital divide and building, you know, toolboxes or supporting universities to provide guides to students just really making it easier for Canadians to be able to use the internet in a way that's safer. And policy engagement, we support a number of events, and so we supported the first ever youth internet governance forum, that's the word. I'm thinking it's not a program, it's a forum. We supported the first ever youth internet governance forum here in Canada late last year in September of 2024 in their event, which was really great. I think they're looking to have another one this year in 2025, which will hopefully be really even better. But we support a number of different initiatives, which is great. I'll send a few links after this presentation, and you can have a look at the different projects that we've supported and the outcomes on those projects. So how can you get involved? I've thrown a lot of information at you. Take a moment to digest it. But for the purposes of this conversation and how you can get involved, I think one of the best things you folks can do is if you are looking for a software, and I recommend that everyone does this, download Canadian Shield, use it to protect your devices. It works on phones. It doesn't matter what kind of computer you have. It works on everything. And so download Canadian Shield, protect your devices. I would say as well, take the internet performance test, you know, every so often, intermittently, even if you're happy with your internet. There's moments where someone's telling you you're getting this much, but the reality is it's something else. And so download it. It'll help improve digital access to you and your neighborhood. We have articles at CIRA.ca and information that we share. Right now we are, you know, pushing out a lot of really critical information about how to use our cybersecurity services, of course, and how to stay safe on the internet, but more generally about, you know, what's going on. And so we put out an article recently about the difference between what it means when something is made in Canada versus when it's a product of Canada. Newsflash, they're both great. I found out through that article, Made in Canada is a little better, but there's a lot of resources and information that is on the website. The articles are short and sweet, and they're packed with information. So I'd recommend if you're ever looking for something to do, www.cira.ca. And join us at our events. Tomorrow we actually have our internal kickoff where we're going to be talking through the events that we're planning on having throughout the year. But we're based here in Ottawa. We have a number of free events that we do throughout the year, and I'll be sure to send links over to Chris as they come through. And come join us at our events. We've got it's a great conversation. A lot of great people come out. There's always really good food. And it's always a good time. And so if you're ever looking for something to do, please come out to our events and become a member. If you do have a domain or you have a .com, consider becoming .ca. But if that's something that you're interested in doing, become a member. If you have a .ca domain, come out to our AGMs, come out to our events. But our events as well, you don't have to be a domain holder or a .ca holder at all. You can still join us at our events. And now that I've connected with all of you folks, I'll make sure to keep you in my email loop and make sure that, you know, when we're doing exciting things, I'm sending them your way. But I the internet's always changing. And, you know, I find that every single day here at CIRA, I learn about something new. And so I'm happy to pass along any information that you may see relevant or important. And Yeah, I thanks again for taking the time. I'm happy to answer questions. I know there was a tough one that came in, which I'm very glad that you sent to me in advance, Chris, because I did not know how to answer that question. sent that over to one of our engineers. And so I know someone had asked how Canadian Shield differs from Quad9, OpenDNS, Cloudflare, Komodo, SafeSurfer, ADG Guard servers. And so the one real kind of differentiating aspect is that Canadian Shield is free without a cache. And so our DNS resolver is fully built and maintained in Canada. We're not looking to sell data. We're not collecting data. We're not tracking the data. We're not giving it to advertisers. It's just to keep you safe. It's operated by Sierra, and we're a not-for-profit that really sets us apart. Our focus is on closing digital divide and enforcing digital sovereignty. And we have a clear privacy-first mandate. We're not looking to leverage data for, you know, gathering this information and looking to do that. And we have our software is very simple to use. It's quite easy. Quad9 is quite similar to Canadian Shield. The key difference there, though, is that it's based out of Switzerland, which is beautiful, but it's not Canada. But I mean, ultimately, what's most important is your safety. So if you find that you're looking for something, I would definitely recommend that you look to Canadian Shield.
Yeah, there is, if I can jump in on that one, there are a couple of differences that I've noted as well with Canadian Shield. Canadian Shield does give you that two-tier that you can actually go to, either just protection from a security point of view, and then additionally there's another DNS server that you can point to that will add on the family-friendly aspect of it, and that's something that, for example, Quad9 doesn't do. Quad9 is, at least the last time I looked at it, it was strictly the security, so if you were looking to be able to block non-family friendly, my understanding is that Quad9 won't do it. There are some other DNS services that will allow you to do various levels like that, but I don't believe that Quad9 does, so that's one benefit. And I think the other thing that just in the realm of that, that I sort of think is that if I look at some of the other DNS services that are out there, do I decide that I am going to trust them? And they may be trustworthy organizations, I don't know. I do inherently trust Sierra. You know, they've got a real track record. They are not-for-profit. You know, they do stand behind everything that they say, whereas some of these other DNS services, I don't really know them. And so it might be a little bit easier for me to use something like Canadian Shield.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. I think for me, like the one like thing that I saw and I was like, this is so, even prior to joining Sierra, when I found out about Canadian Shield, was that piece about not tracking the information, not selling it to advertisers and data tracking, coming out of the world of big tech and very much using the information that is being sold. I think it's so key and so critical to make sure that you're able to, I mean, at peace, have a thought and not see like an advertisement for a rake the next day just because you thought about it, and have it being shoved down your throat. So at the very least, I think it's a much better user experience than a lot of these other ones. But yeah, I think I encourage you all to try. I'll also send a link, actually, if folks are interested in downloading, I'll send a link over.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'll go through the questions that are that have been posted into the chat. What I'll do right now, actually, as well, I can't force unmuting, but what I can do is mute all and allow people now to unmute themselves. So I'll do that. So, Arfi, you'll have to unmute yourself again as well. But now other people do have the ability to unmute themselves if they want to ask a question audibly. You can continue to use the chat if you want. I'll go through the questions that were posed in the chat, and perhaps after you could respond to them. One person asked, would Canadian Shield replace other security software such as Norton?
Okay, I'm unmuted again. I definitely think that if you are paying for another software to try out Canadian Shield, it would be like kind of like a swap like that, and I would, if you're paying for something. take the one that's free. But that option is always yours. But yeah, it would replace things like Norton.
I'd have to disagree with that one, because I think Norton is an all-encompassing security suite, so it has antivirus and things like that. I think you still need antivirus on your computer and the other services that are provided by software like Norton. But I don't think Norton actually provides a DNS blocking software. So I think they're complementary, really. And I think that I give talks on security, and security on a computer is all about layers. And so if one layer fails you, then hopefully another layer will provide the protection that you actually do need. So I definitely wouldn't give up anything other than potentially another DNS blocking service that you're actually using. You could swap that in for Canadian Shield instead. Let's see. Stu asked, a number of years ago, I found a website, the URL of which I have since lost and forgotten, that showed a graphical representation of worldwide cyber attacks. It occurred to me that possibly a number of these might be friendly fire test probe attacks. Is this a possibility? If you understand what he's asking. I'm not sure I do.
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, it's possible, but I can't speak to that. I mean, maybe if you had the website, maybe I'd be able to make an assessment. But I think whenever you see things that online that look a little bit fishy, always move with a level of caution. So it's good that you back off a little bit. But I can't really make an assessment. But
yeah, I think I guess this could come back down to you actually have two different services. The Canadian Shield is really just a DNS-based service, which means if I am trying to go to a site that or an address that turns out to be malicious, I'll be blocked from going there. But you actually do have a firewall service that's available as well. Is that available to consumer level, or is it strictly large organizations level?
No, our firewall. So I'll send a link over as well. Firewall is also
Oh, okay. So that could be of use to people at blocking those type of probe attacks. Possibly could be blocked as well. Greg asks, do you publish a report of performance by internet provider?
We don't publish a report specifically about performance by internet provider, but we do have a number of reports we publish annually that has information regarding areas and particularly like provincial and like city-wide information. I haven't seen any reports specifically about providers, although that would be incredibly helpful and useful, but not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I could see you getting into hot water with providers as soon as you start providing numbers on there. The ones that are not doing so well would be fighting you tooth and nail, I'm sure. But I have read there is an annual report that CIRA does put out, and it does talk an awful lot about regionally, what sort of bandwidth people put up with or take advantage of, the sort of usage that people have on their internet, how they're using it. It's actually a very fascinating report. Highly recommend that people pick that up. Arfie, if you have access to the URL for that report, if you could pass that on. I know some of the stuff I find a little bit difficult to find on the CIRA site. Some of it seems to be more aimed at members as opposed to the general public. And so, yeah, if you have that, I'll be happy to pass that on to everybody as well. Tom had a couple of questions. When and where is the governance forum, and how can they register?
Yeah, so the governance forum typically happens. It's supposed to happen in every Canadian city, but COVID and just COVID has made it very challenging for that to happen. Lucky for us, that means it's happening in Ottawa twice. It'll be happening in November. The exact date I'll have to send in, because I don't want to say a date that's wrong. But it's happening in November. It last year happened in the old Shopify building on Elgin. And this year, I think it's going to be happening kind of in the downtown area as well. But I'll get all that information. I'll send it over to Chris. But it's a free event. It's an all-day event. You're welcome to pop in or pop out as you see fit. But it's great. We'll also have a schedule of, who will be speaking and all that good stuff. So encourage you all to come out.
That'd be great. Tom also asks, when will everyone migrate to IP version 6, and can we reserve now?
I cannot speak to that, but I don't know. Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. I think one of the things that is going to push out the requirement for us to really move to IPv6 is there's something that it was fairly new to me, was the ability to hide a huge number of websites or whatever behind a single IP address and an IPv4 address. So there are technologies that seem to be coming along that are making it that we don't really have to migrate really quickly to IPv6, other than it does provide some security benefits and things like that for sure. Tom also asks, why is .ca more expensive than .com and .org and .net? How are you financed?
Yeah, don't have the answer to that. wish I did, but I don't have the answer to that.
Okay, and why no one-letter domains? I assume he's talking about like c.ca or something like that.
That's a good question. Actually, I've never actually given that some thought. I think I might have to turn to my good friend ChatGPT and ask Josh. I haven't thought given that some thought. That's interesting. No, I don't know why.
Yeah, interesting. And he asks, what are the coming products that you have?
I'm not exactly sure about like the products that we have coming out, but I'll send a list of our products to you, Chris, and you can share that. And then I'll specifically highlight the stuff that folks can download for free to protect themselves. But we have a really, really kind of I find that the website, when it comes to breaking down our cybersecurity products, is pretty easy to navigate. And so I'll send that over. And all things that are coming out will definitely be posted there first. And so I'd encourage you all to keep an eye out.
Okay, that'd be great. Tristan says, strange that the download test, this is the internet performance test, gives some large discrepancies versus other major testing platforms. Maybe some bandwidth limit on test systems, ? And he said that he was getting on the CIRA test 662 megabit per second, and speed test was giving 1.7 gigabit. So it was giving, almost three times the performance that the CIRA test was giving.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I know that our test is our test is very well reputable, and the information that comes from that test is quite accurate. That's very interesting. I didn't know that there would be discrepancies like that. Something to make note of for sure.
Yeah, that was, I guess, one of the reasons why I asked the question, whether there was a way that an ISP could fake it out. Like, if they know that I'm going to speed test, for example, is there a way that they can somehow artificially inflate the numbers so that I don't complain about not getting bandwidth? So that's why I was sort of wondering whether that is an actual possibility that Rogers or Bell could detect where I'm going. Of course, they know where I'm going. It's going through their network. So if they know that I'm going to do a speed test, that they could just make up numbers somehow. I don't know.
That's interesting. I'll connect with our IPT team tomorrow and ask them how they manage those discrepancies. And I'll flip that over to you to share with everybody.
That'd be great. Okay. No, that'd be great if we could find out more details about whether that is possible to be faked or it's just – oddities of the internet from time to time or whatever. France asks, why do some people have such big numbers? Well, I guess that's just, a lot of it is what you pay for and, what your internet service provider is willing to provide. Bell now is certainly claiming to be able to provide, 1.5 gigabit service and things like that. But I wonder how many people are getting anywhere really close to that.
A question: how much does CIRA get from each .ca domain every year?
I'm not exactly sure what the number is. I can try to find that number for you. And if I think our fiscal report is public, so I can find that number for you and I can share that with you. I don't have the number off the top of my head.
Okay, that'd be great. We did have a question, is Canadian Shield compatible with Bitdefender, which is a security suite, I guess, or at the minimum, it's an antivirus product, but it probably has built-in firewall and things like that. So I don't think that Canadian Shield would be in conflict with that at all. It's really just a DNS server. And rather than blindly returning the IP address that you, say you type in cbc.ca, rather than just returning the IP address blindly, it will actually look up to see, is this IP address hosting a malicious website or whatever, and then block you from getting to it. So it shouldn't be it shouldn't interfere with any security software that you have involved on your computer.
So the Bitdefender also has a DNS option. Would that this replace that so that I would not need to pay for that extra?
Or yeah, if you are paying extra for that service, you could drop it and switch just that portion of it to use Canadian Shield instead. I wasn't aware of the fact that Bitdefender actually had a DNS service as well. You probably can't just pick and choose what you pay for. You're probably paying for, you know, an entire suite, right?
Yeah, no, it actually has a separate DNS that you can. You get some DNS with the main package, but if you want unlimited DNS, you have to pay for it, is my understanding. I will check that up and let you know, but I get charged two different amounts.
Okay.
Two different times of year. So
yes, certainly if you're paying for DNS protective services like that, we can take it up offline, if you want, and I can try to see if it looks like it's providing exactly the same service that you can get for free. Yeah.
Okay. And I have another question. Sometimes when you put the DNS on, sites like CRA and Canadian government sites don't like it because they can't tell where you are. Is that a problem that would also occur with Canadian Shield?
I haven't found that I have that issue with Canadian Shield, but I use Canadian Shield. But I think it might differ based on, I find that a lot of times it has to do multi-factor authentication.
Yeah.
The laptop that I'm always using, and I'm connected to the same network that I'm always connected to, so I think those things can just be tricky. But in my experience, I haven't had a lot of trouble on that front.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I don't see how it could cause any problems, because if you think about the way that the DNS service is actually working, is, you know, your computer doesn't know how to get to opcug.ca. It knows how to get to an IP address. So how does it get that IP address? It's a DNS service. So whatever DNS service you use, whether it's the one that's provided by your internet service provider or CIRA through Canadian Shield, it's just you query them, they give your computer the IP address, and then your computer goes to that IP address. So there's no way of, that destination server or something knowing how you got that IP address. Mm-hmm. It just knows you got it, and it just serves up the content.
Okay.
A very simple service, right? Like in terms of what it actually, the overall function of it, DNS is really a pretty simple service.
Okay, you know what? I am so illiterate, I am getting mixed up between DNS and VPN. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, it is confusing when you start talking about all the different layers that come into play. But just if you strip out just that portion of it and just talk about the DNS service itself, it's actually really just that changing a domain name into an IP address, and then your computer goes to that IP address.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I see.
Sorry.
Could you describe the CIRA firewall, is that just DNS, or do you have more protections?
Sorry, you cut out for, I don't know if I cut out or you cut out, but I didn't hear your question entirely.
Okay. The CIRA firewall, is that just DNS, or does that include other protections? For example, does it protect against incoming messages as opposed to just outgoing messages?
Right. Sorry, I think that was me. I now hear you. Can you repeat your question again? Sorry.
Sure. The Sierra firewall that you mentioned, is that just the DNS firewall, or is there some other protections against, for example, incoming packets?
Yeah, our firewall is a DNS firewall, and so it works to really filter and block access from malicious and inappropriate websites when you try to visit a website. In terms of like the actual nitty gritty of like how that functions and protects folks from online threats and phishing attacks, I'm happy to share resources, but it's a DNS firewall.
Okay, so you wouldn't throw out necessarily any phishing messages that you come in by email or anything like that. It's just DNS.
Yeah, just DNS.
Okay, just looking to see if I missed any other questions that are in here. Is there assistance available in the download and install of Canadian Shield?
Yeah, we have a chat box that pops up every time you are on the SEER website. And I find I've played around with it a couple times. I find it very helpful. There's also a number at the bottom of our website that you can call if you need help navigating that. And it's all kind of there. I'm happy to send links specifically to those resources as well. That'd be helpful.
Okay. Just seeing there's quite a few comments on that in the chat, a lot about the performance that various people are getting to that I guess is not something that you are actually do anything about. Let's just see. Anybody who's a question I either missed or haven't come across yet, by all means, if you wanted to open up your mic and ask it verbally, that would be fine too. Okay, I think I've gotten to the end of it.
Yeah,
so
no question.
Yep.
I posted the results of the speed test in the chat. I just registered a couple of weeks ago with actually it's I went to Bell and they actually bought version premium. So the internet I'm supposed to be getting is up to 300 megabits per second in download and 100 megabits per second. I put 150 there, but that was the Bell one. And I just did a speed test, and I get only 88.61 and 42.65. Now, when I registered this with Bell, the salesperson told me it was speed of 300 megabits per second I would be getting and 100 megabits per second I would be getting. Now, he never said up to 300 and up to 150 or 100 in this case. Now, what are we supposed to expect from those companies if I got a 300 package and I realize that with the speeds I get, maybe I should have gotten a lower package? So
yeah.
What can we do about this, and where do we stand with this?
Yeah. Go ahead, Arfi.
No, take it away, and then I'll.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is not a serious issue per se, so I'll chime in with what I think about it. Usually they will couch it in that language of saying up to, and that is sort of the catch-all that they can get out of anything by saying, well, we didn't promise you you'd get that speed, we promised you up to that speed. They will almost certainly, if you complain, blame it on the fact that things vary. And, of course, they do. What I would do personally on something like that is I would go for speed tests through a number of different providers for that, such as speedtest.net, as well as the Internet speed test from Sierra. And I would do it multiple times a day, different times. And I would then provide that results to the Internet service provider and say, you know, look, you're never coming even close to what you told me I would get. And, you know, they're going to try and weasel out of it almost certainly. But the more you come armed with data from lots of different days, lots of different times of the day and night, and different providers of the numbers. The more data you can provide for to them, the more likely it is that they're going to, you know, agree to the fact that they are not providing you with what they promised they could provide. Now, I would be willing to bet if they sent you documentation on the change that you requested, I would be willing to bet that the words in there actually do say up to speeds, whereas when they're talking verbally, you know, they can always weasel out of that and say, well, no, they shouldn't have told you that, or they, you know, whatever. But yeah. I bet you if there's written documentation, I bet you the written documentation doesn't say they'll provide you with 300. It'll be up to 300 or something like that.
That's what I just checked on their website. This is exactly what they're saying. And I know that some companies do what it's called throttle. Now, I don't know exactly what it means, but I know that it slows down the speed. Now, I went through this exercise that you just mentioned with a company in Montreal where I was not getting the speed that I was supposed to get. And I did all kinds of tests with them, connected directly with their hardwiring my laptop to, and the speed got better for a few days, and down again it went afterwards.
Yeah.
So anyway,
one of the speed tests that they will have you do is run it right from your modem as opposed from your computer, because especially if you're on Wi-Fi in your house, they might blame it on the Wi-Fi being slow, not their true speed. Their true speed is really from their modem to their infrastructure is what they're really promising you. So they will try to, and some of the routers will allow you to do a speed test right from the router, and so they'll have you run that test. Throttling is the idea behind throttling is that the wire that is coming into your house, if you're on Bell, it's just automatic that is capable of providing up to 1.5 gigabit. But if you're not paying for that, they will actually just make sure that it slows down that connection to whatever you're paying for. So that's the idea behind throttling. But if you're paying for 300 megabit service and you're only seeing 150 at a minimum, I would tell them, like, okay, I want the 150 megabit per second price tier rather than paying for the 300 because I'm never getting the 300, and tell them, you know, I only want to pay for the 150. And they should be able to do that.
What you said about the modem is very true, because that company had sent me a newer modem, and we did the test with that newer modem, and the speeds were as bad as with the older modem. So anyway, I changed companies since, but I realized that this is across the board.
It's really hard to nail them down because the numbers are. You know, in fairness to the Internet service providers, the numbers do vary, you know, and it can be the endpoints, it can be midpoints through there. Your packets are going to be going through, you know, maybe a dozen different, points from here to the endpoint. And so anyone along the way could be slowing things down. So really, and if they have the ability to measure from the modem to their infrastructure, that is the fairest number to really go with to say what the speed is that you're actually getting. I would certainly argue with them because it costs you nothing more than time to actually just go and present them with all kinds of numbers and say, look, you're not providing me anywhere near what you said you would. Explain it to me or give me money back.
Just because I'm getting a third of what I'm supposed to be getting. Well, up to.
It's that up to that's the killer, right? It's to say, 1 megabit per second is up to a gigabit. Okay. Any others?
Chris, it's Corrine.
Yep.
Arfi, thank you so much. I have a question for you about the domain names. And for example, I could type in like Royal Bank, and it would come up with the Royal Bank site. So how many domain names on the average does an organization kind of identify with so they can protect it? I remember when I was working at Parks Canada, we had to do the same thing where we put a lot of combinations of names in so that and other people wouldn't take it and say, well, we have that name, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm. I think that differs depending on the organization, but we do have a process, a DNS abuse process. So for example, if someone wants to be called Royal Bank, but they spell bank with a C at the end instead of a K, that will still be reported regardless of whether or not Royal Bank has paid for that domain name. It goes through a process, and then our team will make an assessment. If the assessment comes back that this is someone who, you know, shouldn't be having this domain name, they're using this domain name to, you know, spread misinformation, to do phishing, to, you know, steal information or whatever the case, it honestly doesn't even have to be very malicious. Inherently, if you're presenting as a bank and you're not doing anything with that information, it is malicious. And so we go through that process here internally, and we have those domains taken down almost within the day that they are reported. And they're not always banks. They're not always like government agencies, although a great deal of those are. Sometimes it's as simple as like the manufacturer of this like water bottle, Hydra Peak, and they spell peak with two E's instead of an E and an A. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the company that makes the report, but we have an internal process. And so I'm not exactly sure how many each company would kind of buy to make to reduce the possibility that's happening. But if there is a case where a company doesn't buy out that domain name and every other domain name that kind of sounds like it, we have a process to make sure those domains don't stick around on the net for too long.
Keep in mind, of course, Corinne, that this is going to – that's a, it sounds like a really robust process, but that's only the CA domain. So, you know, you're going to have to, as an organization, decide whether you want to guard against somebody registering the .com, .org, .tv, you know, all of the other top-level domains, whether you want to actually pay for those to guard against it.
Exactly. I remember having to go through that process, Chris. Is that kind of covered off all the other extensions just to make sure that it wouldn't we wouldn't be negatively affected? Arfi, I have another question for you. For the current leaders of the various federal organizations, do they all have .ca domains?
So the folks running for election?
Yes.
Yeah, to my knowledge, they all have got .ca domains, and all of the folks running underneath them have .ca domains as well, to my knowledge. There's a possibility that's not the case, but last I checked, that's the case.
Thank you.
Question, Arfi, you mentioned about the idea of becoming a member. Do you have to have a .ca domain to be a member of CIRA?
That's correct, yeah. To be a member of a .ca domain, that's to engage in get involved in our AGMs and all that great stuff. We do have a number of events, though, that non-members can attend and be involved that way as well.
For anybody who is interested, it's my name is associated with the registration with our domain name, and I do attend the annual general meeting. I find it very interesting. There's some interesting battles that go on at the AGM. It's quite entertaining sometimes. But if anybody wanted to feed in anything in particular about at the AGM, or if people want a report of, you know, what happened at the AGM, I could provide that conduit. I just noticed that I had Steve Parker has had his hand up. Steve, you're probably very used to the idea that at the APCUG they rely heavily on people putting their hands up. We usually just totally ignore hands up around here, unfortunately. Did you have
you
a question? Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, I just had a comment that the other thing that can impact your internet speed is the area that you're in. If you have a lot of people that are using, sharing the same pipe you are to the internet, and they've all got super FTP servers, your internet access is going to be abysmal. Whereas if you're way out in the country and you've got a fiber optic cable and there's nobody else around you and you're the only one on that pipe, you're going to get the full width to it.
Yeah, so that's true.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, and especially I guess if people are streaming movies nowadays, it's probably that is going to be the thing that's going to be really sucking up the bandwidth is if everybody's on Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, definitely a good point, Steve. A lot of different factors, but I've never been shy to give Bella Rogers a call. So if you rule everything else out, I definitely also give him a call.
Well, I got fed up of talking to Rogers. They were totally useless. I got fed up of being their tech support when I phoned them. I mean, I had one guy come over to our place with a bloody drill bit 3 feet long. And I asked him, what are you going to do with that? Drill through the wall. The hell you are.
Here's an interesting question from Glenn, actually. Does Canadian Shield provide DNS service for non-Canadian domains?
That's a good question. So we have a number of global partners. We have folks that are being protected by Canadian Shield that are customers rather than the free Canadian Shield. The free Canadian Shield is for Canadians. And when I say Canadians, we have a number of Canadian presence requirements. And so this doesn't necessarily mean you are a Canadian citizen if you're PR, if you've been in Canada for a couple of years. If your business is established in Canada, you also have access to these things. But for the purposes of this conversation, yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay, any other questions that people have?
Not a question, but a comment. And that's that I ran GRC's DNS bench program to see how fast, at least for us here in Ottawa or for me in Ottawa, the different DNS services are. Videotron and I think, I forget the other one, Radiant, were faster than Sierra, but Sierra was faster than Google, faster than Quad9, faster than all the others on the domains that it tested on. So Sierra is a good choice for a DNS provider, not only because it's protected, but also because it's fast.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Thanks, Tom. Okay. Is there a project ongoing with satellite ISPs such as Starlink? Not sure that would have anything to do with Sierra.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, I've been trying to pulse on what's going on just generally. And, I mean, every day it's something new with Starlink and Elon. So I don't know if we're still partnering with them, if Ford has anything to do with it. But don't have a sense there. It's a
One thing that was kind of near and dear to my heart, I was on the board of directors for the National Capital Freenet, and they partnered with Sierra, and Sierra funded a large portion of a project that they had putting in community Wi-Fi in Ottawa. And so there's some public spaces in a couple of buildings in downtown Ottawa that the residents can get free internet access through that. And that was largely funded through Sierra. So kudos to Sierra for some of the good work they do like that, for making sure that the disadvantaged are not shut out of the digital world. So it's really good some of the work they're doing on that front. My understanding is that I'm no longer on the board, so I haven't been really in touch with it again, but my understanding is that project has been a great success.
Yeah. I believe they've also expanded outside of the downtown core. Which is really great, but still up and running. And it's really, really lovely to see the impact that has in providing, access to folks that might not otherwise have access.
I have a question. How many employees are employed at Sierra?
Good question. I'd say about 200. Don't quote me on that. Might be 203 or like 197, but just around there.
Interesting. Okay. Do we have any other questions before we wrap up the session? Okay. Okay, well, I guess that's it for the questions. If anything comes in late, by all means, you could funnel through me, and I'll make sure it gets through to Arfi, and we get responses back on all of that. Arfi, I'd like to thank you an awful lot for coming out. It's been really great. I knew a lot of the good work that Sarah was doing through my membership as on the part of the Ottawa PC user group in Sarah, so I do keep in touch with what's going on there, and that's what drove me to actually request this presentation. So it was really great that you're able to come out and explain in considerable detail about a lot of the good work that Sarah is actually doing on behalf of Canadians. And so I thank you very, very much on behalf of the whole group, and I will be in touch with you in the future, I'm sure. So thanks much again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've got a couple of questions to come back with answers to, and so I'll send those over your way in the links. And I look forward to staying connected with you all and maybe seeing you guys at our CIGF or at some of other upcoming events in the coming weeks and months.
That's great. And for folks that are interested, we will be getting the deck from Arfi, and that'll be posted to our website over the upcoming days. And along with the audio track and the contents of the chat window, we'll go up on our website under the previous meetings section. So with that, I would like to thank everybody for showing up, and I hope you had a good evening, and we will see you next Wednesday night at Q&A.